Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Following the Dáil debate yesterday on the appointment of Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court, the Taoiseach has denied instructing Justice Minister Helen McEntee to appoint Mr. Wolfe. The minister said the Taoiseach told her the former Attorney General would make a good judge. And I'm joined now to discuss this by Dr. Laura Cahalan, who's lecturer in law at the University of Limerick, and also by Brendan Howland, Labour spokesperson on Justice and TD. You're both very welcome. Brendan Howland, I'm going to start with you because you said yesterday, good morning to you, that it was absurd that the Minister for Justice made this decision on the appointment on her own. Will you explain to our listeners why you feel it was absurd?
Well, as I said to the Dáil, I've been privileged to serve in three coalition governments, two with Fine Gael. I know how these things work. And the notion that, for example, if we were in government with Fine Gael, that a Labour minister would make such a strategic decision about an appointment of this nature, a really important appointment to the highest court in the land, without clearing it politically with the partners in government, is absurd. It just wouldn't happen, never happened. And I don't believe, from what we've heard now, that it happened in this instance either. Unless the two other parties in government, Fianna Fáil, and remember, Fianna Fáil had the Taoiseach's position and the Attorney General's position when the decision was made, that they simply acquiesced to it. The fact that they weren't involved any way at all in it is just not credible. Mm-hmm. For the Greens, too, I would have assumed, even as a junior partner in a three-party coalition, there is a structure where everything before it goes to Cabinet of a very serious nature is cleared. In essence, just so that people understand how Cabinet works, Cabinet is by and large more a decision-making body than a debating chamber. You don't go and shoot the breeze and talk about things and merits and demerits. By and large, things come to Cabinet for decision when they are politically agreed. And something as important as the appointment of a member of the Supreme Court would have to be cleared politically by all the component parts of government.
So the conversations would have happened before the recommendation was made to Cabinet?
There's no doubt about that. I mean, you see, the Minister for Justice, I think, performed stoically and valiantly yesterday. And she's right to say that the Minister for Justice would always bring one name to government. But behind that, that decision would have been largely made at that point. It would be the acceptance of the agreement of the parties in government that mm-hmm. would be brought to government. That's the way it works. And that's the way it should work, because it has to work as a collective. You know, the government appoints under the Constitution a member of the Supreme Court, not an individual Minister for Justice.
You asked Minister McEntee yesterday, did she know about the existence of this non-statutory advisory group outside of JAB, which would assist with identifying eligible and qualified persons suitable for appointment as senior judges? Now, that's not what that advisory group does. That advisory group advises on the appointments of courts presidents only and the Chief Justice. It's not for other judicial appointments.
So the department says, I was advised that Leo Varadkar established a non-statutory advisory group to assist with identifying qualified persons. It consisted of an existing very senior judge, the Attorney General at the time, Seamus Wolfe, and an external individual who was involved in business to make recommendations. Now, I'll check again whether their recommendations were exclusively for the presidents of courts. But the fact that even in determining who should be the president of, say, the district court or the circuit court, an external advisory panel evaluated applications, how could a lesser process be involved in the appointment of a Supreme Court justice? That group of individuals who interpret our laws and make final and binding decisions that impact on every citizen in the country. Okay. Surely an even more rigorous vetting analysis process would have to go in. The notion that
all we know is that the government spokesperson has said that that advisory body was not used for this function to advise on the appointment
of
a Supreme Court judge.
Well, the question then is why? Okay. And why would it be left entirely to a newly appointed minister to determine from, we now know, five serving senior judges plus the outgoing Attorney General with no judicial experience, and the other list, which is the panel of all eligible judges, to determine that by herself without reference to anybody, when we know that there are more vigorous processes now for positions that would not be as important in the law, would be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
Let's bring in Dr. Laura Cahalan on this now, because the minister didn't explain how those names were whittled down, the five names whittled down to one, but she's not obliged to do that, is she, under the current process?
No, and I think that's really the big problem with this current process. I mean, even if this was, let's say, a naked political appointment, there's not much you can do about it because the current process actually allows for that to happen. And that is the problem, because even though this mightn't be problematic from a legal perspective, it is problematic from a moral perspective, from a legitimacy perspective, and even from the perspective of the independence of the judiciary. So this is really why this process needs to be urgently reformed in order to ensure fairness and transparency.
The minister said yesterday that the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said to her that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge. Do you have a problem with that, Dr. Cahalan?
Well, I suppose people have to draw their own conclusions in relation to what happened there. But what I'm really confused about is the fact that apparently the minister hadn't yet received the names of the judges who had expressed interest at that stage. And there was already conversations ongoing about who was potentially going to be appointed. But yes, apparently the whole list of candidates were not given to her at that stage. She also said that she didn't receive those expressions of interest until she had already indicated that a nomination was to be made to Cabinet. So I'm quite confused as to the process there and when exactly the expressions of interest from the judges were received and when they were considered.
You also point out that Fine Gael TDs have been saying that the Judicial Appointments Advisory Board recommended Seamus Wolfe, but that's not the function of the JAB.
Well, the reason I was tweeting about that was because the impression was given, or it was attempting to be given, I think, that somehow the JAB was saying that this was the most suitable candidate. Now, the thing is, the Act, the 1995 Act, does actually use the word recommend. The problem is that in practice, that's not what JAB does. So JAB isn't actually doing what it's supposed to do under the Act. Now, that Act was set up in 1995 as a reaction to a political crisis. It wasn't well researched. It wasn't well thought through. And even those involved in it assumed it would be properly amended later on. But the Act actually does give more power than JAB has chosen to exercise. In the beginning, it did exercise a more advisory function in that it did send on a limited amount of names to the government. But at some stage along the way, it decided that that might be limiting government discretion and it might be problematic from a constitutional perspective. So now instead, all it does is it simply filters out any undesirable or unsuitable candidates and generally sends on every other name to the government. So despite having the power to do so, it does not interview candidates. It does not assess them in any way. All they're essentially saying to the government is, here are all the candidates who applied and are appointable.
So again, it's back to the process and the system that can allow something like this to happen.
Exactly. I mean, a number of us have been jumping up and down about judicial reform for many years now. I appeared before an Oireachtas Justice Committee in 2014, along with a colleague of mine from Trinity, Dr. David Kenny, and actually Jennifer Carol McNeil, who's now a sitting Fine Gael TD. We were all pointing out the problems in the current system at that stage and the need for reform. And 6 years and two controversial appointments later, we're still in the same position.
Okay. And Brendan Howland, the finger could be pointed at you when you were in government as well, that this wasn't addressed at that point. But would you say that the appointment of Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court was a naked political appointment?
Well, I mean, we know basically what happened. I don't think anybody's in any doubt what happened from what we've been told and what's been drawn out of government. And that was, you know, there was a quiet conversation between the Taoiseach and the newly appointed Minister for Justice, whom he had appointed, and said, I think Seamus would be a good judge. I mean, what more do you need to know? In essence, he then emerged. The process, and you put the question to me in terms of should we reform this process earlier? Yes, and I've been banging the drum about reform in a range of areas. In my own time, when I was in public expenditure, obviously we brought in the lobbying bill, and we reformed a whole range of areas like freedom of information and so on. The justice area has been much slower to be reformed. the policing area has eventually been reformed. We need substantial reform of public administration in this country.
Okay, but
this is something that will happen now, I believe.
But on this issue, I mean, where does it go from here? If you believe what you say and you know, we take your word and you talk about a quiet conversation and then Seamus Wolfe emerging as the Supreme Court judge after that conversation, I mean, would you support a motion of no confidence in the Minister for Justice?
No, I mean, the bottom line is, I said yesterday that if the government actually came clean and said this is actually what it is, some would regard as a grubby political deal, and we decided because Fianna Fáil were going to get the new Attorney General's job, that we have to finalise a position for the outgoing Attorney General, and that's the deal. That would be both legal and constitutional. Now, we might have something to say about it being ethically acceptable, but it's legal and constitutional currently. The problem for the government is that it is concocting another version of events, that somehow all of this was left to one individual, newly appointed Minister for Justice, to make the decision on her own. I'm saying anybody who knows the process knows that that is not credible, and it'd be better if the government said, yeah, that's the way we did it on this occasion, but we're going to do it. We have another Supreme Court appointment to make. We're going to set up a proper panel to evaluate. We're going to have open competition, and the best candidate, regardless of background, is going to get that.
So you let this situation lie, but changes should happen for future appointments.
I think we need to basically have honesty from the government as well, because you can't take the Parliament and the people for fools. And that's what's happening now. I have great sympathy for the position the Minister for Justice was in yesterday, sent in to defend an indefendable position. And she did it with great determination. She stuck to, you know, as a previous very senior politician did, if pressed, repeat the above. And that's the line, basically, that I did it without consultation. That's the way it was. Yes, she did throw in the curved ball, I suppose, of saying that I had a conversation with the Taoiseach in the interim, who did mention that Seamus would be a good judge. But other than that, she stuck determinedly and stoically to the position that really now anybody who knows, and I've talked to many, many people, who knows how the politics of this works, knows it's just not a credible position.
Yeah, I mean, and you explained earlier on how conversations would happen before the name was brought to Cabinet, but the former Taoiseach Mary Harney said today, she's quoted in the Irish Independent as saying, the names of applicants for judicial positions were never presented to government.
You see, that's a different kettle of fish. They were agreed by the parties. Now, I know, for example, that there would have been submissions made when Labour was in government to the Taoiseach's office on all these matters, and discussions at a most senior level, usually between the leader of the parties, to agree a position on all of that. It wouldn't certainly be a general government discussion, and there's right about that. So, you see, you're getting partial information, like the statement that one name only ever goes to government. That is true, but it doesn't mean that it's the gift of the presenting minister. Mm-hmm. You know, that just, it doesn't work like that.
Okay, and Laura Callaghan, to bring you in here to finish, I mean, ultimately, is the judiciary damaged by all of this, by what happened in the Dáil yesterday?
Well, the problem is that if the impression that we're being left with is that judges are being appointed for political loyalty rather than on the idea of merit, then that is very problematic, because obviously as a public, we want the best people to be appointed as our judges, not necessarily people who are just being rewarded for political behaviour. So I think that is what is really a danger here. But I suppose one other thing maybe we should mention as well is that I think the Taoiseach has actually been very quiet about all of this, perhaps strangely. But I saw a very worrying quote yesterday in an article in The Examiner by Paul Hosford, where he said that Micheál Martin said that he had been given the one name which was recommended by Jab, and because that was recommended by Jab, he was not in a position to disagree. Now, that's actually extremely problematic, and I don't know whether he has a poor understanding of this or whether he was given the impression that he could not disagree, but the fact that he felt that he was under an obligation to accept that name from JAB, then that's actually potentially unconstitutional, because the Constitution envisages that the government must have a choice in this matter. They must be allowed to depart from that name if they wish to do so. So, I think this whole process needs to be reformed, and it needs to be done straight away, because, I mean, even as Deputy Howland is explaining there, you know, different cabinets have done this differently. There are no set procedures around all of this. So in order to ensure, you know, in the future that this process is going to be fair and is going to be transparent and to give the ordinary people confidence in the administration of justice, this needs to be reformed straight away.
Dr. Laura Cahalan and Brendan Howland, Labour Party spokesperson on justice, thank you both very much.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.